This is Clayton Howe's Entertainment X.
For part two with Liz Calloway, we continue the conversation of her career, touching on Anastasia, and then we move up into what's keeping her moving forward today in this crazy time. We have some wonderful, wonderful points along changes made that have increased positivity and decreased negativity and so much more. So I hope you enjoy this part two with Liz Calloway, and keep on keeping on. And now I don't want to gloss over anything, but I know, you know, the resume is long and I don't want to make you go through all of it. I do have some parts. I'm really curious how they connect. Going from Broadway, and not that you left it to go do anything in film, but what was that connection going, you know, from catching Disney's eye and then Anastasia? How did that piece together for you?
It started with, I auditioned for Little Mermaid, and it was as if you were auditioning for a Broadway show. It was like my agent got the call. They're looking for people. So I went in and auditioned for Little Mermaid, and I remember getting called back, and, I actually left New York then for 3 years, and I hosted a children's television show on CBS in Boston for 3 years and didn't sing very much, only a handful of times in 3 years. So I was doing this other show. And I remember getting the New York Times and reading the review of The Little Mermaid. I was like, wow, that's like amazing. Yeah. And I remember seeing it and loving it. Then I auditioned for Beauty and the Beast for Belle. And I got called back and I didn't get it. And I remember saying, I would love to be, if you need anyone to sing in the chorus, I would love to do that. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, I'd love to sing in the chorus. I love choral singing. And so I did that.
Right.
I did chorus for those things. I auditioned for Aladdin, got very close. I did the sequels. And so I sort of, yeah. And then I got called to do like Lion King 2 and stuff like that. But most of them came from regular auditions. Anastasia was very different in that I got a call from Lynn Ahrens, the lyricist, one day saying that, and I knew Lynn and Steve not well, but I had done a demo, you know, years earlier for a Disney project for them that nothing ever happened with. And she said, we're in the recording studio right now, recording some demos for a new animated movie project. And the person we're using isn't working out. Could you come down now and record a few songs for us? And I did. That's why when I do master classes, I say it's very important to know how to sight read. So you learn something very quickly. Yeah. And I sang some demos for them. And I remember saying to them, they were very grateful because it was so last second. And I said, I would love to do the chorus. If this movie goes, I'd love to be in the ensemble. And they're like, great. And then I did some more demos and I'd heard that I knew Meg Ryan was doing it. Never crossed my mind that I would do the singing. And I heard they were thinking of possibly a Norwegian pop star, or I think Meg maybe wanted her sister to do the singing. And then one day they just said, you know what? They want you to do it. And so that was it. So it was no audition. It was just like doing a favor for my friends. And, you know, and then that, you know, that has been, again, that is something that it's keeps on giving. You know, Anastasia is such a, you know, I love doing it. Every minute of that experience, it was over 2 years of, hey, we've got a new song for you to do. And it's joyful. And it's so amazing the impact that the show has had on people. I never realized it before until I started doing concerts. And then again, when the Broadway show opened, and you realize how many people, you know, love that movie. And I still sing from it all the time. I love it.
The music's fantastic. So is the movie. It's wonderful. Was there a moment you were in rehearsal and they were like, hey, you know, we're just going to have you do this? Or was it more of a phone call prior to everything taking off with the, you know,
recording? The actual moment of finding out that I was going to, you know, that's a great question. I seem to remember, and I might be totally wrong. I don't remember the exact moment, but I feel like it might have been in person. I think I might have been doing another demo and they might have said, okay, oh, they want you to do it. Okay. That's my memory of it. It wasn't like, oh, my agent called and you got the movie. It wasn't that. I remembered that. No, it was a very... it's like the song goes, it's a quiet thing. It just sort of happens. And I was so fortunate to do, you know, a lot of those animated movies at the time. And I recently did a demo. I'm not doing the movie, but I did a demo for Disney for a sequel of a movie they're working on. And that was fun. It wasn't as much fun because I had to record it like in my closet looking at, you know, to my sweaters, you know, the recording. Not nearly as fun as I think the first recording session in Los Angeles we did was in where they were Judy Garland recorded Over the Rainbow. It was amazing.
Well, that's special.
Really, really cool. Really cool.
It really, you know, speaking of special, it must be so special to be performing these songs. Like you said, the gift that keeps on giving, and to hear so many people, I imagine people come up to you and they have a story of what it means to them and when they saw it and how many people it's actually touched, you know, these films.
It's amazing because when the movie opened, you know, it didn't run that long in the, it wasn't like this huge hit in the movie theaters. I think the life afterwards with the DVDs and the album, that it was a successful album. I didn't know until if I ever like teach a masterclass somewhere, I might sing at the end, you know, like a little bit of Once Upon a December or something, and people just like burst into tears. That they hearing that, it's like, that's my childhood. And I remember when I went to the opening night of Anastasia, the musical, in Hartford, and Lynn and Steve had invited me, and I was so excited to see it. And when the intro to like Once Upon a December and the intro to Journey to the Past, it got like the intro got applause. And that was like, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. That means they know they know the movie. And I had no idea that it would have that impact on people. So
is there a role that has taught you the most about yourself or taught you a lot about yourself?
That's very good questions.
Well, thank you, Liz.
You know, you're always learning things. It's interesting. Sometimes I think I learn more now than when I was younger. There's good things and bad things to having a lot of success relatively early. And I think I don't think I necessarily appreciated at the time how lucky I was to be doing some of the things I was doing, particularly like a role like Lizzie and Baby, which was just, you know, an extraordinary part. Yeah. I learned, this is actually something that I did in summer stock about 5 years ago. I played Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard and I was terrified, and it ended up being one of the great experiences of my life, and realizing how important it is to take risks and to do what you're afraid of, and not necessarily just with choosing roles or in your work, but in, you know, just in anything you do. And I think now when I'm afraid to do something, that means I should do, that's a sign. Oh, you need to challenge yourself. I did a one-person play about a year and a half ago called Every Brilliant Thing. Terrifying. It was improv with the audience, whatever. That, again, was one of my favorite things I've ever done. And I think in both cases, those were things that I thought, I don't know if I can do this, but I, you know, I kind of broke through the fear of it. And that's when you discover, you know, you're capable of doing a lot more than you think you are. I think we tell ourselves, oh, I don't do that, or I'm not this. And then we believe it. And then you find out if you're given the opportunity, oh no, I can do a lot more than I thought I could.
That's so well articulated. I know exactly what you're talking about. To have, you know, you're prepared, you know the lines, you know what you're going to do, but you don't know how it's going to turn out.
No.
And it's that moment.
It's yeah.
It's just, yeah. It builds character.
Yeah, no, it does. And the thing is, though, it's not, you know, learning to be more fearless, learning to, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Right.
You know, and just going out there and trying and not, you know, not trying to be perfect, trying to, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, jump before you're ready. Certain things I've done, well, I'd say in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, I've discovered a more entrepreneurial side of myself and like, oh, I can produce, I've produced 3 albums. Yeah. I didn't know what it when I did like a 5-song Christmas EP, no idea what I was doing. And if I had waited to know what I was doing before I did it, I still wouldn't have one, probably, you know, yeah. But I went, I'm going to learn this. And I do think it's really important. You know, this year I was trying to think, okay, what could this, I read somewhere that it's a good thing to have like a word of the year. You know, just something to, I don't know, to go back to, and, you know, instead of doing like New Year's resolutions. And to me, one of the things I just want to do more, especially in this time, because I don't know, who knows when, you know, I can get back to performing and in person and stuff. And that's to learn and to learn new things and every day go, okay, what did I learn today? I was watching a thing today on YouTube by SAG-AFTRA talking about filming because I'm trying to learn more film editing and you know, I want to create more videos and do stuff like that. And I was like learning about the power of threes and that your eyes should be on this horizon of this line in a box. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And I went, I learned something today. And it's small, yeah. But it's there's a lot of power in knowledge. And I think that's something that we can all be doing. You know, we've all had to learn how to become expert, you know, at technology with all the live streams and all the, you know.
And that's right.
How long have you had your podcast?
3 years on February 5th.
Oh, happy anniversary. Well, happy anniversary, Sabath. You know, and that's, you know, a lot of people are doing podcasts now as, you know, a way to have a project and a voice. And it's, you know, it's awesome.
It's you. Yeah. Again, you're bringing up another fantastic point. It's that, you know, knowing more than just, you know, performing or just saying like having, you know, being well-rounded, always learning, always improving, always moving forward in a way. I think that's powerful. There is a lot of knowledge. A lot of power, you know, in knowledge.
Oh, you feel so, I mean, I think you feel so good when you, whether you're doing a part that you didn't think you could do, or whether you're figuring out, you know, when I've figured out how to use this program to transfer a cassette into Audacity and do this, that, and it's like, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to learn this. And then you feel great because then you go, okay, now I have more tools to create whatever it is that I'm going to create.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's, yeah, it's well said. And it's, I love that. I love that idea of learn, you know, the word as opposed to a resolution, because a resolution is almost like a goal. What if you don't reach it? What if you reach it? Some people don't set them because they don't think they'll reach it. but to just have that.
Well, most people, yeah, and it's very hard. It's very hard, you know, most New Year's resolutions fail, you know, and then that's just another reason to feel not so good about yourself.
Right.
But if you just kind of have something to have in the back of your mind, doesn't mean you're going to always do it, but it just, it's something to go back to each time. And if there's something, you know, there's so many things we're capable of doing that we don't know we can do. And in this time, you know, it's like, for me, it's like, all right, how do I share my music? How do I, you know, what can I do that's just going to be an interesting challenge for me, whether it has anything to do with theater or music or something completely new, because I think that's just, I think we're put on this planet to do a variety of things, not just one thing.
That's so true. That's so true. I have to ask, slightly switching gears again, is there a common piece of incorrect advice that you've heard in your field?
Incorrect advice? Not that I can, not off the top of my head. Give me an example. What, have you asked other people this?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's kind of like, at least, and I'll use it, you know, something in the times now of, and I've heard it from different people I've interviewed, is like, okay, for instance, a common piece of incorrect advice could be, you know, for an actor is, you know, you should put yourself out there. You should always be making videos. You should, you know, have a TikTok. You really should be, you know, really make sure you're making those daily. They're just really important to, get across, you know, what you're getting across, or, you know, which is to, you know, get more jobs. But that's not correct, because if you're not being genuine, you're not being who you are. Now you're just putting out a bunch of stuff that doesn't really show who you are, your humanity is. And so it's kind of to just create, in a way, the way you feel the urge, when you feel the urge to create, to do that, not to force it. You know?
Yeah, I will totally agree with that. I think in some ways, you know, it's different for every person.
Yes.
You can say there's an argument for that. There's an argument that you can create, you know, I do think that you can create a lot of things right now. And I was actually just listening to something about, and I, you know, I've spent a lot of time on social media. I went to I took myself to Nashville a few years ago, and I went to a music conference for independent musicians, and I learned so much about social media and, you know, producing your own music and releasing singles and all that. And there's so many people who are telling you should use your email list, and you should send this five times a day, and you should, you know, and there are no rules. You have to do what is right for you. I think there's so much, I've not done TikTok, although I'm interested in short form 15 second video seems to be
trending.
An interesting platform that a lot of people are doing now. And I don't know what that, I don't know if what that means, but rather than saying, well, I'm too old for TikTok, I'm not going to do that, I do think you need to be open to things.
Right.
And, but in terms of other advice, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I just think that it's very important to be true to yourself. You know, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on social media, I think. And also I find what's challenging for me is, you know, with so many things happening in the world and you know, there are people, here's some advice that I don't know. People are saying that you have a responsibility to use your platform about social issues. And I think in a way, there are some people who say that if you don't say anything, that is a comment on that you don't support something.
Right.
And that's not always the case. Sometimes I know personally, it's like, sometimes I just don't know how to say what I want to say. And then I can feel this terrible pressure. Oh, we have to be this. We have to be that. It's more important how you live your life, you know,
yes.
And what you're necessarily sharing on social media. Because we all show what we want people to see.
Right.
You know, we show, for the most part, the best sides of ourselves, not necessarily how we feel on the not so good days. And so I do think that, I don't know, I just think, it takes bravery sometimes to be yourself. Does that make any sense?
That actually made a lot of sense. Because, and I know what you mean. And I'll speak for with my show alone, you know, having this show going on, you know, there is a feel and a need and an urge to immediately, you know, right away comment on something, you know, like, oh, I'm for this, I'm for that, I'm for, you know, like, I'm an ally, as opposed to actually doing something, just kind of claiming it just to make sure I'm safe, you know, and that's not correct. You have to be yourself.
Right.
And
you do it for yourself, and you have to find, and I think it's so important to find ways to, you don't have to be public about everything you do.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I think it's very important to be true to yourself. What you brought up is so true. It's like, oh, I need to have a comment about this, or I need to do this, you know, and there's so much happening every second on social media. There's a new, you know, another post will come, or something will, you know, I find the phenomenon of social media, it's tremendous, but it also is so incredibly toxic. And I think that is a huge challenge for everyone's emotional well-being. Yeah. is dealing with that. And that is something that didn't exist in the early part of my career,
right.
You know?
Right.
It's very different. I'm very happy that the internet did not exist during Merrily We Roll Along. Oh,
because
my
people would
Lord.
They would want to know what you have to say.
Oh my God. And also people would have been so mean.
Yeah.
People would have been so, I mean, people were already mean.
Yeah.
You know, when the word of mouth merrily during previews wasn't good, but oh my God, I could only imagine if Twitter existed.
If it could be retweeted.
That would not have been a good thing.
I love it. I love what you're saying. Cause you have to do you. You gotta be true to yourself, and you don't have to be public about it. You know, some things you can just do instead of making a statement. You can just actively do. So I really,
some of my favorite things that I like to sometimes do random acts of kindness for people. Mm. And I don't, you know, I will reach out to someone. Hey, could you use a song? Could you use a little something?
Yeah.
But then I don't say about it afterwards.
Right.
It's just, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily, you always have to ask yourself, what are your motives? When you post on social media, I think, you know, and it's just a good thing to remember.
Yeah. What are your motives? I do have to ask, during this time, what changes have you made that have increased positivity and decreased negativity?
Taken a lot of walks.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yes. If it increases positivity.
Yeah. Being out in, taking a lot of walks and being in, being outside when I can is really, really helpful. I live about an hour outside New York City, so I can do that. I'm not in the city.
Yeah.
So I'm very, that has been very helpful to me. For the most part, I've stayed pretty positive. I've had moments of great anxiety, like everyone, just, you know, a physical sensation. For me, singing in my car makes me happy.
Yeah.
And when I can just drive and sing, that sort of calms me. Spending, you know, trying not to turn on my I'm actually not as good as it as I was, but I, for the longest time, I get up in the morning and then I don't look at email or social media until I've had like a nice calm morning. That's like really helpful, I think. Just have quiet, yeah. Before you're bombarded and, oh, I've got to answer this email and whatever. I was much better about that actually before the pandemic. So it's finding new rituals and new routines, I think, is really important. But I, for the most part, I've stayed pretty positive.
That's good. No, it's good. And it's difficult to have that, you know, the routine or the discipline of a routine when the whole routine has been flipped upside down or thrown out, you know, to keep that discipline.
I used to be so much better at, I was really, you know, I'm a zero inbox kind of person and very, you know, organized, yeah. But I also had this gig and I know this and that. I'm like I've always been like air traffic controller.
Yeah.
This ahead. And then tonight, or this afternoon talking to you, I got involved with something else. And you texted me, like, are we still on? Right. Are we still on 5 o'clock? And I've never done that before. So I do feel in some ways I'm much less, in some ways I'm having the discipline and keeping up with things is so much harder when time kind of is, you know, endless and you don't know which day it is.
Warped.
I think that's something we're all experiencing that.
I do have to say, I don't know why I feel moved to say this, on your Twitter, the video you put up of the street with the snow and the trees and the home, it's so beautiful. It just looks so great because I know you got a lot of snow.
Yeah, we got a lot of snow and I was just sort of like, and my husband, he took three different times of the snowstorm, he went out and did some shoveling. I was like, honey, are you sure we're going to get like a lot? And he kind of did it three times that day. And he said, I hadn't left the house. He said, I was actually so excited for a snow day. Yeah. I don't know. The last snow we had came kind of overnight.
Yeah.
And so I love snow days. And so you have to even just take a 10-minute walk and you have to go out. And it was just so peaceful and beautiful. And I kind of felt bad about posting something because I thought, oh, I should just experience it. I don't have to document it, but I did.
Well, I'm thanking you publicly. So thank you.
And actually people, it may, you know, people enjoyed seeing it and it's just, my sister said, God, it looked like the cover of your Christmas album. I was like, yeah, it was just like this real, it was really peaceful. And I wish today I took a nice long walk and cause the roads are clear. And so it was nice to spend time outside again.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You need to physical movement helps the emotions, you know, it helps. Physically moving really helps.
it's really helpful and it's hard, you know, and it's like, and I've tried, you know, every so often I've like, okay, I'll try meditation. And I talked to my sister last week and I was saying, cause my sister has felt very anxious about, you know, the world and everything that's going on. And I said, have you thought about meditating? And so I said, let's just meditate 5 minutes a day. Let's just start with 5 minutes and find a way to make it. And that's something I put on social. She put something on social media and I did too. It's like, we're going to start small. We'll try to do 5 minutes every day till it's just a habit and a no-brainer. And so, and then hopefully build up from there. But I think that, you know, being more mindful and taking moments for ourselves, it's super important.
Yeah. I do have to ask, final question here. Metaphorically speaking, if you could put a word or a phrase on a billboard for millions of people to see, does anything come to mind?
Well, just the top of my head the first word that came to my mind was kindness.
We can always use more.
Yeah, that just, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful question. And that's a, you know, that's, again, you never know. You never know a certain word or a certain something to go back to is like a nice thing to have one word to think about. And it's a beautiful question.
Yeah. I love that. This has been such a fantastic conversation. Thank you for taking.
Oh, it's so nice to talk to you. And I hope I made sense.
You did.
And it's just and such wonderful, wonderful questions. It's great to talk to you, Clayton, and I hope I can see you in person soon. Won't that be nice?
Here's to hoping. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up here? Anything else comes to mind?
No. Okay. No, this was just great. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Liz Calloway.
You've been listening to Entertainment X, the podcast. You can follow Entertainment X on Instagram at @_EntertainmentX_. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join Clay next week for another Curiosity Conversation on Entertainment X. Thank you for listening.